the reason why I love to use the human design body graph with my clients is that they get to see themselves in a way that actually gives them confidence, clarity, and some conviction. And when you get those three things together, like, you start to take action. So this whole journey to try to get women to, like, take the action, go for it, get through the fear, put themselves out there. Now they can, because they're seeing themselves in a completely different way. Like, oh, this is my mission. It's almost like your blueprint of your mission.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Online Creator Podcast. My name is Kim, your podcast host, business mentor, and audio storyteller. This show is a space to inspire through conversations and community to help us keep connected, keep inspired, and keep moving towards our goals. Expect to hear honest conversations and real-life experiences from entrepreneurs at every stage of business and from a wide range of industries. Find your confidence, see what is possible, and build the legacy that you have dreamed of. Let's get started. Hi, Julie. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Kim, I'm so excited to be here. I can tell this is going to be a good conversation.
Yes, I think there was a little bit of banter before we hit record, and just relatable. So many things already, and we just met. So I'm excited that you're here, and I would love for you to start with just introducing who you are, what you do, and who you serve.
100%. So I'm Julie Ciardi, and I feel like I've had two-part life, because I spent the first 20 years of my career as a vice president of marketing at IBM, and I left that career 6 years ago to start my own business. And really, to put it in a nutshell, I just help women do work that they love and that they were meant to do, because I really am so passionate about that. So technically, I guess I'm a business coach and mentor, but I really see myself as helping to align women to the work that they were meant to do in the world. And it gives them so much joy, it gives me joy, and I just absolutely love what I get to do now.
That's so great. And can I just ask, how did this online world even happen for you? Like, was it just, because I know it's so different for everybody, but I mean, that kind of a corporate world, like, you were up there in that position. So whatever triggered you to think that this was possible for you?
Well, you will love this, because you and I are the same age. So we kind of just know how things have been over the last, you know, 20 to 30 years. And it's so interesting, because one, I did not know that this online world existed when I was at IBM. I can tell you that. When I was growing up, there was, the word entrepreneur wasn't even used. It was like business owner. And the only business owners that I knew were people that owned the local restaurant or the hair salon or the mechanic down the street. And so for me, I thought, okay, I got to go to college, I got to get a job, and I got to go work for someone else. I literally thought that was the only path forward. And being the overachiever, it was like, well, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to do it the best that I can. And I thought business, I'll go into business. And marketing kind of became the thing that I was most interested in within business. And I started working for IBM. And of course, like, okay, I want to get to the next level, get to the next level. I was the primary breadwinner in my household. My husband, he's since retired, but he was a police officer for 25 years. And so it was on me to, you know, if we wanted to grow in the home that we wanted or the travel, we have three children. It was really on me to expand my career, to make more money and all the things. And I did just that. But every step of the way, my soul was screaming out, you're not meant to be here. This is not the career you're meant to be in, and all the things. But I was in a really fascinating situation, because I know now everyone wants the laptop life and having flexibility. But believe it or not, when I joined IBM in like 2000, I don't know when it was, 2000, I guess. It was, no, it was before then. It was almost 100% remote. Oh my God. I worked from home. We didn't have Zoom. We didn't have, like, I mean, we were on conference calls, but I worked from home. So here I am having my children. I'm able to go to the school plays. I'm able to go to the parties and do all the things. And I couldn't walk away from that. I was making incredible money. But having this flexibility, if I wasn't traveling, I was mostly working from home. So that kept me in the compromise of not necessarily doing what I felt like I was meant to do in the world, but it was the best of both worlds of being a mom, I really felt. And I was making tons of money, because I kept getting promoted and all the things. I got promoted to a vice president when I was pregnant with my third child and all the things, right? I was definitely doing things my way while I was there. There's no doubt about that. But I can tell you that when my oldest daughter, so she's 20 years old, when, it's so funny, I say, I had a corporate career for 20 years, 16 of them I was at IBM. So I was kind of, we got acquired and all the things. Anyway, because the math wasn't mathing. But when I was pregnant with Caroline, right? So I had just joined IBM and I'm pregnant with her. And I'm like, I don't want to go back. I know I'm not going to want to go back to this career. And so, but back then there was no online anything. I mean, the only thing when I was pregnant with Caroline was like babycenter.com was like the only thing online. There was no, like, it was just, everything was static web pages, like only 20 years ago, right? And I can remember I wanted to maybe open a franchise and I had seen this flower shop in the Boston area and I'm like, oh, I want to bring this to New York. And so I'm pregnant. I'm on the phone talking to the vice president of franchising because I'm like, I'm going to do this. I got to do something. So that kind of scenario happened about five more times over the course of the years where I was going to do something and then fear, uncertainty, didn't know anyone else that did something like that before. So I didn't do it. Then I was like, no, I'm serious. And I was finally serious. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I remember Entrepreneur Magazine, back when entrepreneur.com was literally just, again, a static web page. I wanted to learn more information about being an entrepreneur. And I got a 5-inch binder sent to me in the mail. Wow. This is how we consumed information. It wasn't that long ago either, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, this was like 14 years ago. It's crazy to me how far we've come. So when you asked, the way you asked that question about like the online space, the funny thing is like I was in pursuit of this well before there was an online space. And then, you know, things kind of came to a head at IBM where after all those years, they decided they were going to make everyone go back into an office. They got some new leadership that came in. And for me to go into an office, this is the universe needed to kick me in the butt, really, is what happened.
Yeah.
And they were making everyone go back into an office. And for me, that would have been a 2.5-hour commute each way.
Oh, no way.
No way. But I was making a lot of money.
Right.
And so we had this big house. It was all the things.
Yeah.
And I just knew this was my moment, that it was like, I've got to make this change. And it was really scary. And I started to explore. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I had no idea. The first thing I started doing, and very appropriate since we're on a podcast, I started to listen to some podcasts. I don't even know how I found out that there were podcasts, to be honest with you. They didn't really exist in the IBM world. You know what I think happened? They wanted us to be more social on LinkedIn. And I remember we were getting trained of how to like be more present on LinkedIn and all these things. And I think that's where I kind of heard about podcasts and all of that. That opened my whole world up. In fact, I think Amy Porterfield was one of the first ones I started listening to. And I was like, okay, there's this whole way that you can make money online. Like, what is happening? Like, I didn't think it was real.
Yeah.
But I started listening and it just, all of the awareness and ideas and everything started to blossom and decided that I was going to go for it. I didn't know what it was going to look like. But the moment that I knew that there was this other world that existed, I was like hellbent on figuring out what it was all about.
The floodgates opened. It's so funny because there's like Amy Porterfield was probably one of my first that I was like, oh yeah, like what? And then I just kind of dove headfirst into all of the content, right? And then it just sprinkled from there and it was like insane how much information is out there and what you could possibly do. I feel like as entrepreneurs, most of us are multi-passionate. So did you ever get like a little too excited and scattered and not sure what direction, or did you always know like, boom, yeah, this is it?
God, no. Yeah, I was all over the place. Like at first I was like, because I had a lot of fear, right? And a lot of uncertainty. Yeah. I kept thinking it had to be something that I already knew how to do, if that makes sense. You know, almost like, well, I'm marketing, so maybe I'll go be a marketing consultant. And I was like trying to stay in my lane a little bit because I wasn't really sure, but I just knew in my soul that wasn't it either. But here's the thing. I kind of knew I was going to have to explore. I knew that it wasn't going to be this straight line either. But also, I was the primary breadwinner. So I knew that I had to make some big, bold moves to be able to make the transition. And I also knew myself. I knew myself now. I knew myself then. there was not going to be this, I'm going to just work this side hustle until my business is making the same amount of money as I'm making now and then leave. Like, I just knew that, no way. I was not happy in my work. And I was about to have to go do this 2.5 hour commuting, right? There'd be no time and 3 children. And so I told my husband, I said, I have to leave. I know that I can do well. I need time. And we decided we were going to sell our house. So we sold our house. We gave us some breathing room financially. We almost took a little step back. We had just like the year before I made this decision, we had went on this like epic vacation to St. Martin, right? Not just our family of 5, but like other people. It was so amazing. It was like a ridiculous amount of money. And I was like, well, we're just not going to be able to do stuff like that for a little while. Like, we're going to have to take a step back. So here are my kids, like selling our house. We're not taking that kind of trip. But it was a lot of people aren't willing to take a step back. We're always been taught like you go on to the next. It's like this sequential but ever growing. You know, you get the apartment and then the starter home and then you get the bigger home and then you get the better cars and all the things. And I said, what if we just took a little detour from that? Paused. See what I can do here. Worst case scenario, I got to go back and get a job.
Right.
But I got to give this a try. My soul. Actually, I have the book behind me. The book that made this all like kick into gear was Bronnie Ware's book, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying.
Okay.
I have the chills when I even say the name of the book. Like my 10-year-old was a baby. I'm reading it and I'm like, you got to go, girl. Like you've got to, like, you cannot have this regret. And I knew that even if I gave it a go and it didn't work out and I ended up working for someone else again, I at least tried. And that just kind of like pushed us over the edge of making the decision. But it was really scary. And the nice thing is that he got to pursue his career a little bit further because he had to hold back because of my career. So he got to, you know, ultimately become a sergeant and do some other things he wanted to do. But we took this pretty significant financial pause, downsized all the things. It was the best thing that ever happened to us, you know, making that decision. But at the time, people literally thought I had lost my mind.
That's my
world
right now.
Is Julie okay?
That's my world right now, 100%. How are your kids reacting then? Because that's tough when because we have kids very similar age. I have a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old. And I mean, when they get a little taste of what is, and then we're starting to peel it back a bit because we're realizing the same thing. It's just, it's really hard for them to understand, right? Because they're like, well, mom's spending lots of time in her office, but what is she really doing? And 100%. Shouldn't she be back at work? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, it was so fascinating to do this with them. So like the youngest doesn't know anything but this. He doesn't remember that I was ever at IBM. He's 10 now, but he was like so little. But my daughter was 13 and my son was 11. And I remember sitting them down and telling them what was going on and all of that. And we were gonna move. But like my goal was like, I was so afraid to do this because of exactly what you were saying. I felt like I was gonna be selfish. Like I'm pursuing something that I wanted, but I also knew what it could potentially create for the family eventually, right? And so I sat them down and kind of told them what was going on. And I also was very adamant that even though we were downsizing, like I was going to make sure their rooms were like, and the funny thing was their rooms were like exactly the same size from the other house to this house. And that's where they spend all their time.
Right.
In their rooms with their friends. Yeah. And I remember another thing that the other house that we had a pool and I knew I really wanted to make sure we had a pool. And so the house we ended up downsizing to, and when I tell you we downsized, it was so fascinating. We reduced our mortgage and taxes by 60%. And that breathing room just allowed for that runway that I needed to really work on the business. But the house didn't have a pool. And when I was trying to leave IBM, there was always layoffs, right? And so they had come to me and said, hey, we need like 2 more people off your team to lay off. Yeah. And I had been planning to leave like maybe 6 or 7 months later from that point. And I turned to my husband, I said, I'm going to give them my name.
Yeah.
And I said, and they're like, so luckily it saved someone else's job, but allowed me to go. And I ended up being able to get a severance. And I said, instead of that severance giving me some cushion, I said, we're putting in the pool.
That's so great.
I didn't want the kids to have to sacrifice like so much because mom is going to try to pursue this dream either. Yeah. So we put the beautiful pool in and you know what? We all ended up liking this house more than the other house, right? So the kids can follow your lead, right? Like, and also made decisions so that it really became their home. But they didn't have to change schools. Like, there was not going to be any of those changes. Like, no changing of schools, nothing like that. But here's the coolest thing. Fast forward now 7 years later, we talk about it. I actually had my 17, well, he's 18 now. I had my 18-year-old on my podcast.
Oh, so great.
Such a cool episode, by the way.
I need to.
I will give you the link. Yes. He is this driven. I'm certified in human design and all these things. And I look at his design. I mean, it's like, whoa, he's just this driven kid. And he ended up getting a scholarship to play football when he just started to play football as junior year of high school. Like, he's like made these, like, he was a football player. I mean, a soccer player. Yeah. And he's got these financial goals and these like physical goals, and he sets these goals and he like goes after them. And he's just a really interesting kid. But guess what? He listens to podcasts. Think and Grow Rich. When he saw mom reading Think and Grow Rich and some of these other books, and then I started the podcast 6 years ago, all these things, like, it just opened this other world up to him. And he has all these dreams and goals of like, he wants to be an entrepreneur in real estate. And, you know, it's stuff I don't think he would have been exposed to, you know? And then my daughter, she already knows she's in college. She wants to work for someone for a while, but eventually open her own agency. And so I just think it expanded possibility for us all. My husband just started a business. I don't think any of all of that would have played out in the way that it has if I didn't take that first step, even though it felt so selfish in taking that first step.
Well, and here's the thing too, because we can relate on so many levels, but I am still like, I'm 3 years in. And so I'm still in this kind of like messy stage of a lot of service work, and not that I don't love it, but I do, but it brings in the money, and I'm transitioning into a different kind of business model. So it doesn't take up so much of my time for the money, really. And so my kids still don't really see. So you know what I mean? Like, it's just that messy stage. My husband's a firm believer. He's like my biggest supporter. He'll do anything because he sees what I've already done. He sees my growth. He's seen the opportunities. But my kids are very skeptical still. And as a parent, it's so tough because you're trying to. And then also, so there's two of those things. How did you feel when you were still in that messy place of like building and growing and like letting everybody know that it's okay, it's coming, it's, you know, like you saw the vision, but not necessarily everybody else around you does.
Oh, it's funny when you're talking about the messy. I feel like it never is not messy.
It's true.
I was like, because, you know, I just kind of want to break out a couple of things you said, because I think it's important for those listening. It is messy. I mean, that's the whole entrepreneurial way is trial and error.
Yeah.
The whole entrepreneurial way is that I'm going to test this, see, do I like this or not? And to see what resonates, because having spent 20 years in corporate with no freedom and knowing that I value freedom more than I value money, I have been very intentional about how I built this business, where it could probably, not probably, it definitely could be four times its size right now if I was willing to do certain things I'm not willing to do. I'm not willing to do sales calls. Just not willing to do them. I'm not willing to have my calendar booked. I'm not willing to do one-to-one work. I'm not willing to, like, everything that I've done is to protect how I want to live. And that's hard, because you have to make some hard decisions. You may not grow as fast as you want in certain areas as you pivot. And, oh, I tested that. I did not like that. I want to shift it this way. But it's been a constant molding. And so it's kind of always a bit messy, I really have to say. But in that beginning stage, when I was like leaving IBM, selling, starting to build this business, initially, my husband was super supportive initially. And everyone else thought I was crazy. And then it flipped. Okay. Then everyone else is like, this is so cool what you're doing. And, you know, I think a lot of my, I think my kids, Instagram was like the number one platform I used initially to grow the business. And so the kids were on Instagram. So like they were watching, right? And their friends were watching, like, oh my God, I love what your mom is doing. Or they're like some of my biggest fans. They're so cute. So they kind of got to see a lot, even though I was in the office, but they also got to see like kind of some of the stuff that was going on because of Instagram. Yeah. I think that helped. But here's the shift that happened. So all these other people were like, this is amazing. I want you to teach me how you're doing what you're doing and all the things. But then I had my husband going, when are you going to make the same amount of money you were making at IBM? And the support, it's not that he wasn't supportive. He cared. He was scared. It was like probably one of the hardest times ever in our marriage. It was like a solid 18 months of me holding on to my dream of what I believed was possible and him like, you better start updating your resume and go back to work. And this constant friction of that. I'm actually thankful for it because it made me really like lean in and go all in on myself. And I really had to like, I had to foster that dream of what I believed I could create, even when I had very little results showing me that it was going to happen. And so that was a hard time. And then had the breakthrough after being persistent. And ever since, it's been great. And he's super supportive. But it's hard. It's hard when your spouse maybe isn't supportive. It's when people that know you that are like, a business accountant that I was going to use while I was starting the business, but also leaving IBM. He basically was like, are you crazy? Like, why? And I'm like, you're not my person. I got a different accountant, right? I needed someone that was going to, but you kind of do feel like you're on your own in terms of what's that dream? What is the goal? And like what it's going to take to get there. And it's been such a journey. I absolutely love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I always say like, I could just go back and hug myself. All those times that like, I was like, oh, I'm afraid, or I don't know this is going to work out. And just not giving up. Because when I look back now, I'm like, oh, I could have given up.
Oh, easily.
I could have given up. Like, easily and gotten a job somewhere. And it's been worth it. But you've got to believe first.
Yeah.
Because you may not always have the supporters and the fans.
For sure. And I'm so appreciative that you shared that vulnerable piece because I think we see and hear all the successes, but we don't hear enough of those stages that are really, really difficult. And in order to do and break through, we need to keep persevering and also allowing ourselves a bit of a runway, because I think that's the other piece that you mentioned that is so important, because we still have to pay the bills. Like, we still have to put food on the table. Food is very expensive at our house, and I'm sure it is everywhere else too.
Yes.
So yeah, like that reality of what has to happen and what you're working towards, they kind of collide sometimes, and it's tough. It's really tough. So I really appreciate you sharing that.
Imagine this, a customized website design that is as unique as you are and done in 1 week. Think of us as your in-house website designer. We offer a semi-custom show it website design that is ideal for the established coach, creative, online business owner who is ready to create a presence online and is ready to take action quickly. We build out a layout that nurtures your visitors, SEO best practices to help you get ranked in Google, development of 5+ pages to drive traffic, and training and launch support so that you can update your website after our time is done. You have the choice. You can keep spinning your wheels and flying by the seat of your pants, or you can have a strategically designed website that allows you to connect and convert, because that is what your business deserves. If you're interested in learning more, check out the link in the show notes to see if Website in a Week is the right fit for you.
Let's get into more of what you do now, because I am so excited to hear more about your human design work. And I can only imagine, I would love for you to even, well, explain a little bit about what you do and then give us a little example of what working with a client and helping them experience what human design is and how they can make that shift in their business can really elevate and take them into a new direction.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting because when you talked about having the runway and when all of that, like it even happens once you're in the business, you know? So for me, my mission has never changed in the 6 years that I've been building this business. And that is to help women do the work that they were meant to do in the world and work that they love. Always been the same mission. How I've worked to help women get there has shifted and changed because when I first started, I really just thought I just had to teach them the how. I'm going to teach the marketing and the sales. I'm going to teach you how to do all these things. And then some women would do it, have success. Most wouldn't. What's going on? And then I started to really see, well, it's because of their thinking. It's their limiting beliefs. It's all of these things. So I went on this like quest for I'm not going to just teach the how. I've got to actually help the woman transform so she can step into the work she's meant to do, right? It's like this huge personal growth work that needs to happen. And at around that time, I was working actually with Bob Proctor, and he was one of my mentors, and I really got to leverage his teachings to kind of bring them into my clients and help them to see that it was really their beliefs and their paradigms that were holding them back and all of the things. Academically, they all got that, but they were still stuck because they didn't know what their specific beliefs that were holding them back. They didn't know what was it about them, or even just confusion on what they were really here to do. And so I really feel like these 6 years, I've just been on this pursuit to find the tool, the approach, the process where I can help the woman mine her own genius from the inside out, to see where those blocks, those patterns of blocks can come up, to really be able to uncover the work she's meant to do in the world. And I dabbled with the Enneagram. I tried a few different things. Nothing has been as powerful as human design. And I will be honest with you, when someone first brought up human design, I'm like, what is that? And then I thought it was weird. I'm like, what do you mean? You want my birth date and time? This is silly. I just literally just poo-pooed it, to be honest. I'm a very logical person. So I kind of poo-pooed it. And then it kept coming back to me. That was like a boomerang. Like, it kept coming back. And I'm like, all right, maybe I should like look at this a little bit deeper. And I started to look a little bit deeper. And I went, this is so complicated. No, because I'm like about simple. I like logical and simple. Yeah. And I just was, I actually said no. And I ended up getting introduced to the Gene Keys, which is another version of human design. It's all based on the same system, but it's a lot simpler. So I started there, and I was like, oh, there's something big here. And I started kind of playing with it with some of my clients, and they started having these like big awakenings and shifts and changes. And from that point on, I just said, if I'm going to go all in on something, I'm going to go all in on it. And I decided I was going to understand human design better. And in the online world, there's a lot of people that talk about human design, and it's very high level. It's like, oh, I'm a 2-4 manifesting generator, or that's, and then we'll stop there. Well, that means, that doesn't mean a lot. Yeah. It's like skimming the teeny tiny surface of things. The depth underneath it is incredible. And here's how I like to look at it. I like to say that it's ancient wisdom combined with quantum physics combined with your divine spirit. It's like the mix of it all. And there's actually an image. It's called the body graph, okay? And it's literally an image of you. Think of it as an X-ray or an MRI that actually shows your potential gifts, your potential strengths, but also potentially where you get sidetracked, potentially where there can be, you know, and things like that, potentially where wisdom can be gained. And so what I do now with my clients, which is just the coolest thing in the world, today was one of my coaching days. So this is what I did all day today. I'm pulling up that image of them, and I do most everything in a group setting, and because a lot of people then can learn from me coaching that one person. So I get the one person that comes up. She was struggling with her niche, struggling with where she wanted to focus her marketing and her messaging. And I bring up her human design, the image of her human design, her whole body graph. And we're able to go through it. I'm able to help her see herself in a way her mind will not let her see herself. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, I like to say it's like how either God, universe, the divine, whatever, creator, whatever you believe, it's how they see you.
Right.
Without all the junk, especially women. So I only work with women because I think that we still have so much societal pressures. I think it's gotten worse, to be honest with you. I think it's gotten way worse with social media and everything being perfect and all the things. It's like before you only look around your neighborhood and see what moms were doing. Now it's like you got the whole world of moms on Instagram to see how perfectly they're doing everything, right? And it's a lot. And to me, what human design can do is it can help you see you without all of that stuff, without all that conditioning. So the cool thing about the body graph and human design, it's literally an image of you without all the conditioning. It is your highest potential. I like to call it your divine design. I don't know if you've ever read any of the books by Florence Scovel Shinn. She was like right around the time of Napoleon Hill. She was one of the few women that were writing in the New Thought era. I love her. She wrote a book called The Game of Life. And she calls it your divine design. And so she never knew anything about human design, but that's how I look at it. It's like we have this divine design that is meant for perfect self-expression. Like we're here to do something in the world. We're here to express something. We're here to do work in the world that we love and that we're designed for. Just no one's ever taught us how to see that. We've been on these paths of like, well, it's got to be this way. And this, the thing that I love to use, the reason why I love to use the human design body graph with my clients is that they get to see themselves in a way that actually gives them confidence, clarity, and some conviction. And when you get those three things together, like you start to take action. So this whole journey to try to get women to like take the action, go for it, get through the fear, put themselves out there. Now they can because they're seeing themselves in a completely different way. Like, oh, this is my mission. It's almost like your blueprint of your mission. And so it's been really, I pinch myself that I get to do what I get to do because it's been so game changing. And of course, because I work with women, and so many of them are moms, you better believe we've all run, like we pull, I help them with how they can pull the same kind of information for their kids and like their spouses. I will tell you right now, human design, at least at this point, has saved my marriage because I can see my husband in a totally different way.
Right.
I can see his true design. And I can even run with the software that I have, like companionship charts. So I can see how we are together. I see where our hot spots are. I can, and they're exactly the hot spots too, by the way. But I can see it with my kids. I know like my older two kids, like they have fought like cats and dogs since day one that they've been together. I can see why in their design. It's really fascinating stuff. So it's all about energy. It's about your aura. Think about when you walk into a room, you can feel someone's like energy, their mood, especially people. And it's like our auras are also interacting with each other. I feel it in the kitchen with me and my husband. Like we don't have to be saying anything and there's a lot going on.
Isn't that true?
And so, but that's happening everywhere. That's happening with clients. That's happening, especially in your marketing, right? Like, because I'm working with women who are trying to grow their businesses, they have to be magnetic, but not magnetic for everyone, magnetic for their slice of humanity they're meant to meet with. So they've got to be operating at that high frequency. And it's not what you say in a post, it's the energy behind it. It really, really matters. It's the energy behind the work that we are doing, the actions we're taking. And Albert Einstein had a great quote that everything is energy. That's all there is to it. It's not philosophy, it's physics, right? So there is this physics element to all this. We can't understand it. We don't know it completely yet. Scientists don't even know it yet, right? When it comes to quantum physics. But we are interacting with each other. When two people come together, it creates a third thing. And just being able to get a better handle on ourselves. Great. We can be more aware. We can show up in a different way. I find that I'm more compassionate, especially with all the members of my family. I'm more compassionate with myself. And that's why the beauty of this tool, it's very misunderstood. It's seen as this kind of fun meme type thing on Instagram where it's like, you know, oh, I'm a 2-4 manifesting generator and everything's very high level. But if you really take the time to study it for yourself and really get to know it, it can change the game. And this is why I don't do readings. I don't have someone come in because that's not going to help them. It's like the idea of like, I could give you a fish or I could teach you how to fish.
Right.
I teach women how to fish. I teach them how to actually get to know and study their own design because I don't want to be their authority. They have to be their authority.
Right.
So that's like the beauty of what I'm doing. It's a little bit different than what I see it, most people doing with human design.
Yeah, I 100% agree from what I just know. And I just know the surface level as well. And even just the surface level, though, it made me reflect on a lot of things. And it made sense in a lot of ways. So I couldn't even imagine what it would be like diving deeper. But I think like we are skeptical because we're taught to be so traditional. So many traditional ways. So when this comes up, we're like, oh, yeah, that sounds interesting, but really, do I really need it? But it can really send you on a trajectory that can really elevate you and your business. So when you started diving deeper and learning more, how did it change the way you ran yours?
Oh, huge. Well, big things started to happen. I mean, I talk about the messy. I mean, I think I have tried every marketing, tactics, strategy, you name it, I've tried it, right? So, I'm going to create a quiz, and then the quiz is going to go to an evergreen webinar, and the webinar is going to go to an email sequence that's going to sell this, and I'm going to make millions through this funnel. Yeah, okay. I remember I had like a ton of people come in and nothing converted. I'm like, what is going on? And then I would like live launch and convert like crazy. So I'm like, what is going on? Without me not knowing my human design, I couldn't figure out why some marketing strategies worked and why others didn't for me. I couldn't figure it out until human design. Because what I began to understand, I call it brand type, but it's called profile in traditional human design. I'm a 2-4, and a 2-4 is meant to be this natural influencer that can really open the heart and sell to someone when they know the person.
Right.
Cold audience stuff like that. There's other types. There's other profiles that works for. Doesn't work really well for a 2-4. So I was trying all these things that weren't working, but the ones that were working were where I can bring people in without charging anything. They can get a sense from me. They can listen to me. They can learn from me. They can experience me. They can start to bond with me in a way that then they're like, all right, I'm ready to work with you. But I didn't know that, right? So I couldn't figure out why one thing worked and one thing didn't. So it completely changed my marketing and sales strategy completely. I became my own authority on my marketing and sales strategy instead of like, I would be like, oh, that sounds good. Like almost like shiny object syndrome of trying the next thing or having a coach tell me, oh, you should try this.
Yeah.
I became my own authority on what works for sales and marketing. That was a huge shift. The other big shift that happened for me is that when I really understood what I'm here for, I let go of the things that didn't light me up that I was teaching. And I went all in on this one area. And what was interesting was that was hard because I had some clients that had been with me for a while and they were like, oh, I'm really not into that. And they left. But then it opened the door for like the floodgates of people that were like waiting for someone to talk about this.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely, but I didn't know that that's what would happen. And so I can remember I kind of was like in this stuck space. It was really like a year ago right now because I do everything in groups. So I have clients that they're on year 4 with me, right? Like they just stay. And so it was these kind of original clients that a bunch of them were like, this is amazing. I'm all in. But then I had ones that I cared so much about that this just wasn't something they wanted to learn about. It wasn't where they wanted to go. And just being able to like step fully into what I wanted to say and own what I think is my magic and my power, it was going to require that break. And then again, it was a break that worked because it brought in the people that needed to come in. But that's scary. And so at every level of business, you still have to make decisions that, you know, are scary and messy. And is it the right thing? But I think human design has helped me like really just trust my inner knowing. Like I know, like without a doubt. But then all, you know, you getting that mind, the mind to stop meddling with the decisions and all of that, that's been huge. And I think I just love what I do at a level that in the 6 years of having this business, I've never loved it to this level. Like pinch myself, love it.
Well, you can absolutely see it. And I know we haven't met until like today, but I've been following you on Threads. I think Threads is where we kind of found each other. And then I've been like watching you on Instagram. And you can literally tell. And the crazy thing about part of what you said was so relatable to me. And I just don't think we listen to ourselves enough, right? Because marketing isn't my forte. It's not my background. So this whole business thing, like I got all this other stuff. But the marketing piece, and I'm sure so many of your clients can relate to that, and that's why they come, because they just need help. But when I get somebody on a call and we do like a connect call and we're like, we just see if we're aligned together, see if I could support and help them, it works because they get to see me. They get to feel my energy. And my husband says it all the time. He's like, but people get to know you, Kim. They stay in your world for a reason. But all those other ways of, that we're told to do it just didn't feel right to me, right? And I'm still figuring that out. But I think a lot of us can relate to that. But we just don't listen to those things and then make those changes that reflect and that can empower us to look at things differently. But I absolutely believe that if someone's listening today to you, like the way you speak about how you have made those changes to really breathe new life and to have this energy and excitement to where you're showing up and being in where you need to be in, like really in. It's inspiring, and I can absolutely feel it through the screen, and I know others can. And I'm sure there's a reason why people are in your program for 4 years. Like, what? What? That's insane. Well, to
me. I call them my OGs. I love them so much. And then the cool part is then when the new people are coming in, because I really do believe that we are meant to work with a sliver of humanity. Like, there's the word niche, right? Everyone goes like, around the word niche, right? But the word niche, honestly, it's just who you're meant to work with. Just you. Your energy, who you are, what you attract. And I think that the more you are you, like truly you, and doing what you love and in your zone of genius and allowing your personality really to be able to come through, you attract that sliver. And what I've noticed is since the more I get into my zone of what that lane is for me, even though I have got some OGs that have been here 4 years, like the new people, like we just had 30 people just join our school like this week, right? But as they're coming in, they're like totally connecting with the other women already. Why? Because it's all the same. We call it the fractal line in human design, but it's because that's the magnetic attraction. It's like it's the same kinds of people. We're not meant to be here for everybody. And I think that's where we get tripped up. We get way too vague, way too broad. I say very nebulous in our niche, in our message. But the key is like stepping more into your convictions and who you are. And like your people literally are waiting for you. It's really cool.
And that it can happen at any stage in life, right? Like, so, okay, I'm at this big, like 50 marker, huge year, huge milestone. And I'm still learning and growing. And some of these things that I'm just like blown away because my mind is just like opening up to all these other possibilities. I'm like, I really hope, but I'm going back to that parent thing, that my kids can learn these things quicker than me. And that, absolutely. But then I have to also give myself some grace and understand that it's great that I'm learning it now too.
Yes, and honestly, I'll be honest, I'm like, oh, I got to look at your design. I got to see what it is. But for some people, like, we're literally meant to, like, go through different parts of life learning different things, because here's the cool thing about human design. The philosophy, and honestly, it's not even just human design's philosophy. It's just the non-industrialization of the world philosophy, okay? Mm-hmm. So before the world that we know it right now with working and careers and all of these things and youth and all that, people that are 50 and beyond is where the wisdom is. So The whole idea in human design is that your purpose in this lifetime isn't even beginning to flower. So think of like a rose that's still all like in a bud. Think of at 50 is when it starts to open. Mm-hmm. Well, our purpose flowers after 50. That's the philosophy within human design. And honestly, that was the philosophy before the world we live in right now. Elders, wise women. I mean, I've got the silver hair. I went silver, but like it's the medicine women. That's where the wisdom was. That's where that was revered, right? Yes. We've lost that, but it's actually the truth. You can't be the wise one with all unless you've gone through the things, you know, until the years have passed. So I think that's what gets me more excited than anything is that I'm noticing that the women coming into my school are in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, my oldest client is 80, and it is awesome. Like, I am just like, yes, like just and like this whole idea of like, well, I'm not done yet.
Right.
I have wisdom in me. There's things I want to share. And I'm like, oh, it just literally lights me up. I think this can help shift how we see aging, I really believe.
Oh my gosh. I just love this conversation so much. And I don't want it to end, but I am mindful of the time. And if people want to get into your world to learn more about human design and what you're all about, I know that you love podcasting. Podcasting is part of your world. Is there a way for someone to tap into that to learn more, or where would you like to send people?
Yes. So I have a podcast that's 6 years old. It's like 515 episodes. Don't go there. I want you to go. I created another podcast that's just like 8 episodes. Perfect. So, and it's just nice and concise so that if you want to learn a little bit more in a kind of a sequential way, it's just these 8 episodes. It's called Her Work by Design. her work by design. I'll give you the direct link to it too. And then I have a way that you can download your chart, download your design, but I wrote an ebook to go with it so that you can kind of like start to see what's in there and start to understand it a little bit more. And so we'll drop the link for that too. I'll give you that link as well. And it's just, to me, it's the more, when you begin to explore your own design and who you are and what you're here to do, there's nothing like it. So those are two great resources I think people will love.
Oh my gosh. There was like questions I had to ask. And I honestly just thank you so much for your time and energy and wisdom, because I think this will definitely shine a light to what is possible if you just look a little bit differently at who you are and what you're meant to be doing at this stage. So I love it.
Thank you for having me. Such a blast. And thanks for having your podcast. I think podcasts, everyone just heard us both say podcasts helped open the door for us to explore possibilities. And so the more of us that are sharing and having these conversations, the better. So thank you.
Yes. Well, I started my podcast because I wanted to help others amplify their voices. And I wanted to hear how they were doing that for themselves, whether it was through blogging or YouTube channels or whatever. I just find it fascinating because I think it's such an interesting journey. And a lot of it resonates from when we were younger and how we were brought up. And it takes time sometimes for a lot of us to find our voice. And I think more of us need to share our stories, our ideas, our thoughts. And yeah, the world will be a better place.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's episode of the Online Creator Podcast. If you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please do so on your favorite media player. And come check us out over on YouTube, where you have full access to our episodes on video there. You can check out the important links mentioned in today's episode in the show notes. And please join the conversation over on Instagram at May and James Co. I'll see you next week.